A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He just bought a Bosch Professional GSB 120 Lee, a 12-volt impact drill and screwdriver, after years of putting it off because he assumed cordless drivers were wildly expensive. He used it during a move, watched movers disassemble furniture to fit through doorways, and realized his Xiaomi electric screwdriver was never going to cut it. He thinks the Bosch is amazing, but he's self-aware enough to ask, is this actually a good tool, or does it just feel good because I don't know any better? He also wants to know whether to stick with Bosch for bits or go third party, and which specific bits set to buy.
The moving day epiphany. That moment when you watch someone else's tool do in 3 seconds what yours has been struggling with for 3 years. It's humbling.
It's also the exact moment tool tiers stop being marketing and start being real. You can read specs all day, but watching a compact impact driver zip a bed frame apart while your $30 screwdriver sits in a drawer, defeated. That's the education.
He's asking the right question, because the GSB 20 Lee sits at a really specific intersection. It's entry-level blue, Bosch Professional, not Bosch DIY green, but it's not a construction site workhorse. It's the cheapest ticket into the professional ecosystem, and the question is whether that ticket is worth the price of admission or whether you're just paying for a blue paint job.
Let's unpack what he actually bought, because the Bosch Professional badge carries a lot of weight and a lot of confusion.
The confusion starts with the word itself, professional. In power tools, it's not a guarantee of capability. It's a tier designation that means specific engineering choices were made, but those choices don't automatically make a tool suitable for every job site. I think of it like the difference between a commercial-grade kitchen knife and a chef's personal roll. One is built to survive a dishwashing station and a prep cook who doesn't care about edge geometry. The other is built for precision in skilled hands. Both are professional, but they're not interchangeable.
That's a useful distinction. So, it's a real designation, not just a sticker. But it's also not a magic word.
Bosch splits its line into green and blue. Green is DIY, plastic chucks, brushed motors across the board, designed for occasional use. Blue is professional, all metal chucks, better thermal management, and crucially, parts availability for a decade or more after the tool is discontinued. The GSB 20 Lee sits at the entry point of blue. It's a 12-volt brushed motor tool, not brushless, with 30 newton meters of torque. Compare that to an 18-volt pro drill pushing 50 to 60 newton meters, and you can see the gap.
The question Daniel's really asking, is this a genuinely good tool, or am I just dazzled by the jump from 5 newton meters on the Xiaomi to 30 on the Bosch? Has a real answer, and it's not either or. It's good for its class, and the Xiaomi comparison is making it feel even better than it is. Both things can be true.
That's what we want to trace through 3 layers. First, where the GSB 20 Lee actually sits in Bosch's lineup and what the professional badge gets you at this price point. Second, how it stacks up against the real pro tools. The Inco the movers were using, which is a whole other conversation, plus the Milwaukee and DeWalt 18-volt platforms. Third, the big question, which is where most people get it exactly backwards.
The big question is the one I'm most curious about, because the instinct to match brands is strong and completely wrong. I've done it myself. You walk into the hardware store, you see the Bosch display with the matching blue cases, and something in your brain says, these were designed together. It feels almost reckless to mix and match.
We'll get there. But first, to understand whether this tool is good or just feels good, we need to look at what Bosch Professional actually means in engineering terms. The green-blue split is the first thing to understand, because it's not subtle once you know what to look for. Green tools, the DIY line, use plastic chucks. The chuck is the part that grips the bit, and plastic flexes under load. Over time, that flex becomes permanent. The bit wobbles, your screws go in at slight angles, and eventually the chuck won't hold anything securely. I've seen green line drills that were basically smooth bore after 2 years of regular use. The chuck jaws had worn down to nubs.
The all-metal chuck on the blue line isn't a luxury feature. It's the difference between the tools still being accurate after 3 years versus becoming a paperweight. And accuracy matters more than people think. A wobbling bit doesn't just look wrong. It cams out of the screw head more easily because the force isn't being transmitted straight down the axis.
And on the GSB20 Lee specifically, that chuck has an auto-lock mechanism. You spin the collar by hand to tighten, and once it bites, the spindle locks automatically. No second hand needed, no fighting with a separate lock ring. Daniel mentioned changing bits without a chuck, but that's the Xiaomi's hex-only collet talking. The Xiaomi uses a spring-loaded collet that only accepts hex-shank bits. You push the bit in, it clicks into place, you pull a collar to release. It's fast, but it only works with one shank type. The Bosch actually has a proper keyless chuck, and the auto-lock makes it feel almost as fast.
That's the thing, he said it doesn't require a chuck. But what he's really noticing is that a well-designed chuck disappears from the experience. You don't think about it because it just works. It's like good typography in a book. You only notice it when it's bad.
The other thing the Blue Badge gets you is thermal management. Brushed motors generate heat, friction at the commutator, resistance in the windings. Green tools are designed for intermittent use. Drill 8 holes, let it cool. Blue tools have better airflow paths through the housing and higher temperature rated insulation on the windings. The GSB20 DeLee can sustain longer work sessions without cooking itself.
It's brushed, not brushless. That matters, and I want to make sure we explain why. Because brushless has become one of those buzzwords that people know is better but can't quite articulate.
It does matter. In a brushed motor, you have physical carbon brushes pressing against a spinning commutator to deliver current to the windings. That contact creates friction, which creates heat, which wastes energy. A brushless motor uses an electronic controller to switch the current through the windings. No physical contact, no brush friction, less heat, more runtime per charge. The GSB20 Elite uses a brushed motor. It's one of the reasons it hits that lower price point. Bosch's brushless tools are in the higher professional tiers. But here's the thing, for assembly and disassembly work, the brushed motor is fine. You're not running it continuously for hours. You're driving screws in bursts.
The thermal management still matters, though, because even in bursts, a poorly cooled tool degrades faster. The heat soaks into the bearings, the grease breaks down, and suddenly your chuck doesn't spin as freely as it did on day one. It's a slow death. You don't notice it happening until one day you pull the trigger and the tool sounds different, rougher, grindier.
That's exactly the failure mode on budget tools like the Inco the movers were using. Inco is a brand you see in hardware stores across Europe and parts of Asia. It's positioned as affordable and available, but it's not a professional tier. The chuck wobble on Inco drills is well documented, and it's not a defect, it's a design choice. They use looser tolerances to keep manufacturing costs down, and the result is runout. Your bit doesn't spin true. Over time, that runout gets worse as the plastic components inside the chuck wear unevenly.
Daniel's instinct that the Inco was a false economy. He was right, and not just in the abstract, you get what you pay for way. There's a specific mechanical reason. The Inco feels fine out of the box, maybe even pretty good. But it's designed with a degradation curve that's much steeper than the Bosch.
It connects back to serviceability. Bosch professional tools have parts support for 10 plus years after a model is discontinued. You can get replacement chucks, motor brushes, switches, gearbox components. Inco typically supports parts for 2 to 3 years. After that, the tool is disposable. So the false economy isn't just that the Inco performs worse, it's that when it breaks, you're buying a whole new tool. With the Bosch, you're buying a $15 set of replacement brushes and you're back in business.
That 10-year parts commitment is one of those things that sounds like a boring corporate policy, but is actually the single biggest differentiator between tiers. It's the manufacturer saying we expect this tool to still be worth repairing in a decade. That's a statement about build quality that no spec sheet can make.
Which brings us to the torque numbers, because that's where the Xiaomi to Bosch jump really lands. Daniel's Xiaomi electric screwdriver puts out about 5 Newton meters. The GSB20 Li is 30 Newton meters. That's a 6-fold increase.
Let's put that in terms people can feel. 5 newton meters is roughly the force of hanging a 5 kilogram weight on the end of a 10 centimeter lever. It's enough for small electronic screws and maybe light furniture assembly if everything is pre-drilled. 30 newton meters is hanging 30 kilograms on that same lever. It'll drive a 3-inch screw into softwood without a pilot hole. It'll remove lug nuts that have been over-tightened.
Torque is what you feel. It's not going to mix thinset or bore a 2-inch hole through concrete. That's where the 18-volt tools with 50 to 60 newton meters come in, but for the work Daniel's describing, 30 is plenty.
There's also the torque-to-weight ratio. The GSB 20 Li is 1.1 kilograms. 30 newton meters in a package that light means you can work overhead without your arm giving out after 2 minutes. An 18-volt hammer drill might give you 60 newton meters, but it also weighs twice as much. For assembling cabinets or disassembling bed frames, the lighter tool is the better tool. You're not fighting the tool while you're trying to do precise work.
The 12-volt form factor is why. The battery is smaller, the motor housing is narrower, and the whole thing fits into spaces an 18-volt tool can't reach. I've watched cabinet installers choose 12-volt drivers specifically because they can get inside a cabinet frame without scraping the finish. The compact body lets them drive a screw at an angle that would be impossible with a full-size drill.
Daniel's joy isn't naive. He bought a tool that's excellent for his use case. Assembly, disassembly, light household work. The professional badge is real engineering, not a sticker, but it's also not the whole story. He's at the entry point of a tier, not the peak of it.
The 30 newton meters, the all-metal chuck, the thermal design, the parts support. Those are the things the blue badge bought him. What it didn't buy him is a brushless motor, an 18-volt platform, or the kind of sustained heavy-duty capability you'd need on a construction site. And that's fine, because that's not what he's using it for.
The trap would be assuming that because it says professional, it can do everything a professional might need. It can't. But for what Daniel's asking it to do, it's not just good enough, it's the right tool. There's a real satisfaction in having the right tool for the job, rather than the most powerful tool for any job.
The tool itself is a solid entry point. But here's where most people make their first mistake. They buy the bits from the same brand.
The instinct is strong. You've got a blue Bosch driver in your hand. You're standing in the hardware aisle, and the Bosch bit set is right there. Same logo, same color, probably designed to work together, right? It feels like buying a camera and getting the same brand of lens. That instinct makes sense for cameras. It makes zero sense for drill bits.
That's the trap. Bit quality is about metallurgy and geometry, not brand matching. Bosch makes perfectly decent bits. They're typically S2 tool steel hardened to around 58 to 60 on the Rockwell C scale. That's mid-range. But Wera and Weha are operating at a different level entirely. These are companies whose entire research and development budget goes into the question of how do we make a piece of steel engage with a screw head more effectively. Bosch's R&D is split across motors, battery chemistry, ergonomics, wireless connectivity. Bits are a side business.
What's the actual difference in the steel? Because better metallurgy is one of those phrases that gets thrown around and nobody actually explains what it means.
Wera uses S2 steel, but with a proprietary heat treatment that pushes hardness to 62 to 64 HRC. That's a meaningful jump. Those few points on the Rockwell scale translate to significantly better wear resistance. Weha goes further. Industrial grade S2 with cryogenic treatment, which refines the grain structure of the steel at a molecular level. You're literally changing how the metal crystals arrange themselves. The practical result is less cam out, which is when the bit slips out of the screw head under torque, and dramatically longer life. Whereas diamond-coated bits last 5 to 10 times longer in impact drivers than standard Bosch bits.
5 to 10 times. So the Bosch bit set at $15 for 10 pieces, versus the Wera impact door set at $45 for 25 pieces. The Wera costs 3 times as much, but lasts up to 10 times as long. That makes it cheaper per screw driven. And that's not even accounting for the fact that the Wera set gives you more bits.
That's before you factor in the cost of stripped screws. A cam out event doesn't just slow you down, it damages the screw head. If you're working on furniture with proprietary fasteners, stripping one can mean a call to the manufacturer and a 2-week wait for a replacement. The bit that prevents that is worth its weight in frustration. I've been there, standing over an IKEA cabinet with a stripped cam lock screw, knowing that the entire assembly is now held hostage by one ruined fastener.
The brand matching instinct is costing you money and creating problems you don't see until you're staring at a rounded out hex socket with no way to back the screw out. And at that point, you're not thinking about the $15 you saved on the bit set. You're thinking about how you're going to explain to your partner why the new bookshelf is stuck in permanent semi-assembly.
The specific set Daniel should buy is the Wera 8874 Impact Door. It covers Torx T10 through T30, hex 3 through 6 millimeters, Phillips 1 through 3, and PosiDrive 1 through 3. That's about 90% of household and furniture assembly fasteners. The key feature is the Impactor torsion zone. It's an engineered flex point in the bit shank that absorbs impact shock before it reaches the screw head or the bit tip, reduces bit breakage by up to 50%.
Daniel specifically asked about Torx and Allen keys without an adapter. That's the right instinct, but it's worth explaining why. Because I think a lot of people don't realize that every adapter in the chain is a potential failure point.
The adapter trap. A lot of bit sets come with a magnetic bit holder. Quarter-inch hex on one end to go into your driver. Standard quarter-inch hex socket on the other to accept the bits. Every connection point adds wobble. That wobble translates to lost torque and off-axis driving. Think of it like a train with too many couplings between cars. Every junction introduces a little bit of play, and by the time the force reaches the last car, it's not traveling in a straight line anymore. For the GSB120 Lee's Quick Change Chuck, you want bits with native quarter-inch hex shanks built into each bit. No intermediate holder, no adapter, just bit into chuck.
The Wera Impactor set. Those have the native quarter-inch hex shanks.
Each bit is a single piece of steel from tip to shank. If Daniel wants a hex-only set without adapters, the Weehaw 75991 is excellent. Same native quarter-inch shanks, same cryogenic-treated steel. Either choice puts him in a better position than buying Bosch bits.
There's something almost counterintuitive about this. You buy the Bosch Professional tool because the engineering is better. The chuck, the thermal management, the parts support. But then you deliberately walk past the Bosch bits to buy from a company that doesn't make drivers at all. It feels like buying a Toyota and then putting Bridgestone tires on it instead of Toyota-branded tires. Except in this case, the Toyota-branded tires are actually just okay, and the Bridgestones are what the professionals actually use.
That's actually standard practice among tradespeople. You'll see a contractor on a job site with a DeWalt impact driver loaded with Wera bits. DeWalt makes excellent tools and thoroughly mediocre bits. Same dynamic applies to Bosch. The motor and chuck are Bosch's expertise. Metallurgy and bit geometry are Wera and Weehaw's entire business. There's no shame in mixing brands. There's wisdom in it.
It's the same logic as buying a Bosch drill, but not Bosch drill bits for actual drilling. The company that makes great motors doesn't necessarily make great cutting edges. Those are fundamentally different engineering problems.
The only advantage Bosch bits have is that if you buy them as part of a kit with the tool, you get them immediately and they're fine for light use. But Daniel already has the tool. He's building out from here, and the question is what to add next. The answer is Wera or Weehaw, not more blue plastic cases.
The concrete recommendation, Wera 8874 Impactor Set, about $45, covers Torx, Hex, Phillips, and PosiDrive. Native quarter-inch hex shanks, no adapter needed. That's the shopping list.
The knock-on effect is worth naming. By buying a Bosch professional tool and pairing it with Wera or Weehaw bits, Daniel gets the best of both worlds. Bosch's reliable motor and that excellent all-metal chuck, with bits that won't strip screws or snap under impact load. It's not disloyal to the brand. It's understanding what each company actually does well. Brand loyalty is for sports teams, not toolkits. Let's boil this down to what you should actually do if you're in Daniel's position, standing there with a new GSB 120 Lee and a decision to make about what comes next.
Three things that are actually actionable this week. First, the tool itself. It's a legitimate entry point into professional-grade hardware, but you need to know its lane. Assembly, disassembly, light framing. This is where the 12-volt form factor shines. The moment you need to drill into concrete or drive 6-inch lag screws, you're outside its job description. Rent an 18-volt hammer drill for that day, or buy one when the project demands it. Don't try to make this tool do something. It wasn't designed to do just because it says professional on the side.
That's not a criticism of the tool, it's knowing what you bought. The GSB20 Li at 30 Newton meters and 1.1 kilograms is optimized for control and maneuverability, not raw power. Using it within its design envelope means it'll last years. Asking it to mix mortar means you'll be shopping for a replacement by Tuesday. I've seen people burn out perfectly good 12-volt drills because they tried to use them as a hammer drill on masonry. The tool wasn't the problem, the application was.
Sicken the bits. Buy Wera or Weehaw, not Bosch. The Wera 887-4 impactor set is the single best purchase for someone with a new impact driver. Torx, hex, Phillips, posi drive, native quarter-inch hex shanks, no adapter. $45 covers 90% of what you'll encounter in household and furniture work. If you want to save a little money up front, you'll spend more in the long run replacing worn bits and stripped screws.
Skip the adapter. Daniel's instinct on that was correct. Every intermediate connection introduces wobble and saps torque. The bits should seat directly into the chuck. One piece of steel, one connection point, no play.
Third, his gut feeling about the Inco was dead on. The false economy of budget tools isn't theoretical. It shows up as chuck wobble within months, a motor that burns out because the thermal design was skimped on, and parts support that evaporates after 2 or 3 years. Bosch Professional means 10 plus years of spare parts. That's not a feature. It's the entire business model.
You're buying a tool that can be repaired, not one that's designed to be replaced. And that's a philosophical difference as much as an engineering one. A repairable tool is a statement about how long the manufacturer expects you to keep it. A disposable tool is a statement about how soon they expect you to come back. The question that sits in the back of my mind, though, is where Daniel goes from here. The 12-volt Bosch Professional line is excellent. There's a reason. Cabinet installers and finished carpenters swear by it. But it's a limited ecosystem. You're not getting a circular saw or a rotary hammer on 12 volts. The battery just can't deliver the sustained current those tools demand.
That's the fork in the road, isn't it? Right now, the GSB110 Li does everything he needs. But the first time he wants to build a deck or drill into masonry, he's looking at the 18-volt platform. Bosch makes the jump easy. Same charger ecosystem if you go with the 18-volt professional line. But it's still a jump. And suddenly you're buying into a second battery platform, which is where the costs start to compound.
What's interesting is how much the line between prosumer and professional has blurred. The GSB20 Li at around $80 does about 90% of what a Milwaukee M12 Fuel does at nearly double the price. For Daniel's use case, furniture assembly, light household work, that last 10% doesn't matter. The question is whether it starts to matter as his projects scale. And that's a question only he can answer because it depends on what he actually ends up building.
It's the kind of question you can only answer by using the tool. You find its limits by finding them, not by reading spec sheets. And honestly, that's part of the fun. Discovering what you can do with a tool, and then discovering what you can't, and then deciding whether the can't matters enough to buy something bigger.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late Victorian period, sailors in the Aleutians reported a peculiar optical phenomenon, a green flash at sunset so vivid it appeared to stain the horizon for several seconds after the sun disappeared. Naval log books from 1880s describe it as the sea-catching fire in emerald, though modern optics attributes it to atmospheric refraction separating the color spectrum at low angles over cold water.
The sea-catching fire in emerald. That's almost poetic for a naval log book. You expect naval log books to be all wind speed and barometric pressure, and then someone drops a line like that.
Victorian sailors had a way with words. They spent a lot of time looking at the horizon with not much else to do.
This has been my weird prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's about to buy a drill, or better yet, leave us a review wherever you listen. We're at myweirdprompts.com, and you can email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Go build something and buy the good bits.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's new, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.